Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
How's everyone? Good job. Got it. All right. Everyone happy in Krishna consciousness? Yeah? Okay. No one's in Maya? I see you're all trying to sit as far away as possible. It doesn't matter. It's okay. Trying to hide. Okay. Jai Raja Madhava Kunja Bihare Bala Bhagiri Bhagiri. Tennyson Shishimad, Glangray Sasi Bhaktivedanta Sana Srila Prabhupada Ki, Iskan Svandra Chaya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Garantaraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki, Sri Sri Gornitai Ki, Sri Jagannath Valadev Savajra Devi Ki, Sankirtan Yajna Ki, Iskan Savita Yatra Ki, Gaur Premanande. All glories to the Samadhi devotees. All glories to the Samadhi devotees. All glories to the Samadhi devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Guru. Hare Krishna. Welcome. Did you come back? Uh-huh. Good. Okay. So what verse are we going to read? Any suggestions?
That verse which reminds us when we see that potential.
Oh. Uh-huh. Okay, we can do that. Is that okay? Alright? Good one. Very practical. Relevant. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we're going to read.
Yes.
Oh, for sure. Okay. We should just carry on now, yeah. Okay. Right. So we're going to read then from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 2, Contents of the Gita Summarized, Text 40, no, 40, what is it? 44, right. Bhobaishvarya Prasaktanam, Tayaparita Chetasam, Vyadasayatmika buddhi samado na vidhiyate. Translation. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Let's do it responsibly, okay? Everyone can repeat after me. In the minds of those who are too attached,
in the minds of those who are too attached,
to sense enjoyment,
to sense enjoyment,
and material opulence,
and material opulence,
and who are bewildered by such things,
and who are bewildered by such things,
the resolute determination. For devotional service to the Supreme Lord,
does not take place.
That's a very important message. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Samadhi means fixed mind. The Vedic dictionary, the Nirukti, says samyag adiyate smin atmatattva yatatyam. When the mind is fixed for understanding the self, it is said to be in samadhi. Samadhi is never possible for persons interested in material sense enjoyment, nor for those who are bewildered by such temporary things. They are more or less condemned by the process of material energy. This is a short purport by Srila Prabhupada. And this verse is a very important verse. And it's connected actually with a verse which was just a little before, verse 41. Verse 41 is talking about the opposite. This verse we just read is about people who are too much on the material side, and they would like to become Krishna conscious. At least part of them would like it. They'd like to lead a spiritual life and develop spiritually and so on. But they have all these material attachments and things they're distracted by, and they just keep nagging and nagging and dragging them down like that. So it's a bit of a struggle for them. But now, this other verse, this verse we'll read now, verse 41, is talking about those who have got it together spiritually. And they're fixed up on the spiritual platform. So, it's very important. Vyavasayatmaka buddhya ekeha kurunanyana babu shaka yanantascha buddhayo vyavasayina. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. We're talking about both. So, let's read the purport here. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called Vyavasayatmika intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila chapter 22, verse 62, states, Shraddha Shabde Vishvas Kahe Sudrida Nischai Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna consciousness, he need not act in relationship to the material world, with obligations to family traditions, humanity, or nationality. Good activities are the engagements of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he need no longer endeavor for good results in his activities. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, but are no longer subject to dualities like good and bad. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurabaha. A person in Krishna consciousness is the rare good soul who knows perfectly that Vasudeva, or Krishna, is the root of all manifested causes. as by watering the root of a tree, one automatically distributes water to the leaves and branches. So, by acting in Krishna consciousness, one can render the highest service to everyone, namely self, family, society, country, humanity, etc. If Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everyone will be satisfied. Service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. As such, to be well versed in Krishna consciousness, one has to act firmly and obey the representative of Krishna. And one should accept the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master as one's mission in life. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur instructs us in his famous prayers for the spiritual master as follows. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati katopi, dhyayam stuvams tasya yashaschi sandhyam, vande guru shri charanaravindam. Thy satisfaction of the spiritual master, this is what that means. Thy satisfaction of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And by not satisfying the spiritual master, there's no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy 3 times a day and offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. The whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body, not theoretically but practically. When there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities, one who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive acts. It's all very relevant, isn't it? So let's read these 2 verses again. Vyavasat makabudhir ekeha kunanandana bahushakri yanantas chabudayo vyavasayanam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam tayaparita chetasam vyadasayatmika buddhi samadho na vidhiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. We gather from around this yagyad and from this shalaka. Chakshramilitamiyena tasmai shri gurudevaya Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stavitamiyena Bhutale Swayamupa Kadavayam Dadati Svapa Vatikam Vatikapa Charubhyas Chakripa Sindhu Vyevacha Vatitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Jivasmi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So these verses are very important because they're very practical. They're things, matters, subject matters, which we all have experience of, and problems which we all face. Who can say that I have no more material attraction? I'm simply attracted to Krishna. No material thing looks nice to me. Who can say that? I mean, who's really like that? Anyone can say it. I mean, this may be a little sort of strange, but Prabhupada once, one devotee went to Prabhupada and said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, This Krishna consciousness is just so nice. It's just so good. I'm having such a good time. He said, I've no more attraction to women. It's gone. Prabhupada said, oh, there's something wrong with you. Excuse me. We have these material bodies. What can you do? The material body has its nature. You cannot just turn it off. You can rise above it. That's what Krishna consciousness is for. But until you've risen above it, really, and actually come to that transcendental plane, then the material body is there, and it makes its presence felt. The material body has certain drives, certain instinctive, just built-in tendencies, like, well, just very simple things like eating, sleeping, things like this, very simple things. So, the material body, you have to feed the body, you have to give the body some sleep. If you don't, then it'll just take some sleep anyway, but at the wrong time. You may be sitting driving the motor car, suddenly you're asleep. Yeah. And you can't drive well when you sleep. So it's like that. The material body's like that. It has its nature. And you, until you've really gone beyond it, you can't just turn it off and say, okay, I'm not going to sleep anymore. You know, on a very advanced level of Krishna consciousness, when a person may be actually beyond these things, then they may go beyond sleeping, eating, and all these types of bodily activities. Like, there was one great devotee, you may have heard of Raghunath Das Goswami. You heard of him? Okay. One of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, a very great devotee, very advanced, completely on that transcendental level, very high, very, very high. So he was so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and he was so transcendental. He would just chant all day. He would chant 64 rounds a day, give class about Lord Chaitanya for 3 hours a day, offer obeisances to different deities 1,000 times a day, and offer obeisances to different devotees 2,000 times a day. How's that? Okay? Not bad? Try that. Try that for one day. See if you make it. Yeah, but because he was on such a high level, he could do these things, no problem. What to speak of no problem? He was just in ecstasy all the way. And half an hour a day, he would wash his clothes, take a bath, wash his body. Half an hour a day, he would prepare some food, eat some food. Half an hour a day he would sleep. That's it. 22.5 hours. He was just fully engaged in devotional service. So we can't do that. Because we're not on that high level. we're still, our bodies are still influencing us. Even though we're not our bodies, we know that, right? One of the first lessons. What are you? You've got to know what you are. If you don't know what you are, then what can you do in life? You know, it's almost inevitable you'll just do the wrong things because you don't know what you are and what you need. So, what are we? Well, we are not these bodies. These bodies are just like vehicles. We are the person, the eternal spiritual person within the body. But now, the body is influencing us. Yeah. Because we're still attached to the body. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he was on such an elevated level of Krishna consciousness that whenever he would chant Hare Krishna, he would just be ecstatic. You know, 16 rounds to some of us, isn't it? 16 rounds is like... Isn't it? You turning 16 rounds, isn't it? Yeah? Okay. You turning 16 rounds? Okay. But I know that for some of us, 16 rounds is like, wow. Some of us can't do it, even though we'd like to do it. So, for him, chanting, he was just in ecstasy so much that what to speak of. You know, sometimes we, when we're feeling tired, if we've been working hard or having a big kirtan, wild kirtan. I was in Russia. Isn't it? Oh, now I can sleep. Lumbile. But he just forgot about these things. Sometimes for days. 3 or 4 days later, someone would come up to him and say, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami, you haven't eaten anything for 4 days. You haven't slept for 4 days. You know, maybe you should just give your body a break and do these things. So he's very transcendental, Raghunath Das Goswami. But we're not on that level, and therefore, because we are on a lower level and the body is still influencing us, and we are still inclined to be influenced by the body. It's one thing if you really don't want to be in bodily consciousness, but the body is sort of trying to influence you. It's another thing if you like it. It's not so bad. Yeah. So that's another thing. Yes. So here, Krishna, Lord Krishna is talking about the problems that come like that. That if we're trying to become Krishna conscious, then we shouldn't just go on like that. You know, we have to make a plan, we have to work at it, how to move forward in Krishna consciousness. Don't want to just remain in the same position. And particularly like what Krishna is talking about in this verse, that in the minds of those who are too attached to sense gratification and material opulence, that determination that I'm going to become Krishna conscious, yes, I am, and to be strongly set, the mind set like that. But if the person's too much attracted, then yes, what about the disco? Tomorrow is Saturday. I can go to the disco, and maybe I can find a nice girl there, and drink some mainstay, and put the other devotees out there. But they don't report me to the heart of them. Something like that. So someone, a person who's like that, that resolute determination, I want to do it, I'm going to do it, I am doing it, and one is actually doing it. But that determination won't take place, but rather one will be here, then one will be there, then one will be somewhere else, and then another place, and distracted from the actual focal point. So we don't want to be like that. You know, there's one, they have these, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but managerial, motivational speakers. You know the type of person I mean? You know, how to have a positive attitude at work, all that sort of stuff. And, think and grow rich. It's all about attitude and so on like that. So there's one in South Africa who you might also have heard of, I know some of you will have, Mike Lipkin. Did you ever hear of Mike Lipkin? His mother was Mother Acharya, initiated devotee. She passed away, unfortunately, I think about 10 years ago or something like that, approximately. Several years ago. Right. So anyway, there's this her son, Mike Lipkin. He's one of these speakers about how you can do it. Whatever it is. You know, don't let your mind get the better of you. Just say yes. So, you know, he was doing one of his programs in Ermelo, out there in Mpumalanga. And we have some devotees there. And they decided to go along also and see. Because he's nice. He's very nice, actually. Mike. Very nice fellow. And he's got some, like, affiliation for Krishna consciousness. He appreciates Krishna consciousness. So the devotees went along. And Mike, he got into this thing that you can do it. Don't think you can't do it. You can do it! Right? And this person said, I can do it. And Mike said, yeah. Yes! What do you say? I say yes! What do you say? There's the guy. Said, yes. So anyway, the people got into it and Mike was saying, I say yes, what do you say? Yes! I say yes, what do you say? Yes! It's like a mantra. So then he pointed to the devotee. I say yes, what do you say? The devotee went, hello! And Mike couldn't believe it. And he also said, yeah, hello! And carried on. So anyway, the thing is, it's not just a hype. This is a hype. I say yes. What do you say? Yes. But actually you're thinking no. It's not just a hype. Like a brainwashing or sort of, you know, you just force people. And actually they don't know what's going on, but they just mindlessly agree. It's not like that. This type of positiveness, this type of determination, that despite what the mind says no, or the mind says, I want to do something else, but we know that we must be Krishna conscious, actually. It's the only real thing to do. Other things, you know, they're sort of pretty useless. And we don't want to get sidetracked by those other things. So, how then? The question is how? What are we going to do to come to this point that, like here in this verse we read, Krishna says that we shouldn't be attracted by sense gratification, shouldn't be attracted by material opulence, Otherwise that determination won't be there. And then we read the second verse. Krishna said that those who are on this path, in other words, those who are going to be successful, actually, in Krishna consciousness, they are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. Krishna. So how to do this? What are we going to do? What are we going to do about the mind, which is so much inclined towards these things? Sense gratification, material opulence. What are we going to do with it? Well, what about we just beat it up? You know, just get heavy with the mind. The mind is saying, you know, we want to do this, we want to do that. But then we tell it, no, just forget it and sort of, you know, hit the mind. Get aggressive and push the mind. Force the mind. Is that an answer? Well, it's not really a very nice answer. If, you know, if we're meant to consider it. It's not a very nice answer. Who wants just to force themselves and deny themselves? Who wants to do that? Just like we mentioned sleeping. And you know, you can only force yourself so far. Sometimes we have to force ourselves a bit, isn't it? Sometimes you have to. If you're at school, you've got to learn for the test tomorrow. Somehow you didn't have any chance, but now it's the last chance. You may have to study all night and force yourself. So sometimes. But it's not really the answer that we will just force ourselves and, you know, for the rest of our lives. How would you like that? 50 years of forcing yourself. And then at the end, you die. So it's not really a very attractive proposal. Just like I was mentioning about this thing about sleeping, that Raghunath Das Goswami, he was so advanced that he went beyond the influence of the body and its need to sleep, for example, or its need to eat, for example, all these different things. But if we try to force ourselves, like Wednesday, Wednesday, right? It's Janmashtami. Krishna Janmashtami, Krishna's birthday. So, we normally, those who are practicing and trying to take Krishna consciousness seriously, then they fast, don't eat anything. All day, stay up till midnight. What do you think, Mr. Eric? You do that normally? You do? Perfect. You should do. You're about the most senior devotee here. Okay, so we don't eat all day. Then at midnight, well, at midnight we have the RT. Then maybe at 12:30 we eat something first time all day. So we can do it. I mean, you can do it, it's not that hard. But what if you did that every day? How would that be? Can't eat till midnight. Then you must go to bed afterwards. You must get up early. How's that? So you can do it sometime. But if you had to do it every day, when I first joined in London in the 1970s, we had this one devotee, and he was into doing austerities. He sort of liked to deny himself sometimes. So he got into a phase of not sleeping, or at least say, sleeping 2 hours a night. Sleeping 2 hours a night, because after all, you know, he would say it's Maya. It's just Maya, the sleeping. We're not these bodies. So why should we give in to these bodies and just sleep all the time? So, 2 hours sleep a night. But you know what would happen to him? It was okay, the first day was all right. Second day he was sort of handling it. But about the third day on, whenever he would sit down, within 10 seconds or maximum 30, he was asleep. Bang. Sit down to chant his rounds. Sit down for Srimad Bhagavatam class. And we used to sit down for prasada. Would you believe it? Can you imagine anyone falling asleep while taking prasada? Must be pretty tired. But he did it. Yeah. And we used to go out. We used to go out distributing books in London every day. And they had this underground railway system. It's very efficient. So we just go, jump on the underground train, and go out somewhere, and get off the train and distribute books there. And then come back at night. Very simple. So we would do that. Go onto the train, sit down, wait till the correct station, get off, and go and distribute books. Him! He would get on the train, sit down, and fall asleep. Then he'd wake up, and he'd say, oh, we went past the station. We went past the station. We went too far now because we fell asleep. Okay. We'll just go across to the other side of the platform and get the train going back in. And then we'll get off at the right station. So he did that, got on the train going and sat down. And what did he do? He fell asleep. Then he woke up. He had gone past the station again, going the other way. So in the end he just sort of gave up and just got off somewhere, wherever he woke up. And so my point is that, you know, if we're going to advance in Krishna consciousness, then we can't just go on just giving in to our minds, just giving in to our senses and what we feel, we want this or we don't want that. We can't just be servants of our senses. We call this, well, the senses are called go. It's a pretty good name, isn't it? Go, they tell you. Go and get me something. That's the senses. So, servant of the senses in Sanskrit is called go das. But we should try to be go swami, controllers. Try to control our senses. So how are we going to do it then? We've just been talking about forcing. So maybe that can work to some degree, but it's not really the solution. It's not really the solution to just force ourselves. So what do we do then? How do we get fixed up on the spiritual platform so that we're not just being dragged by our senses, that our senses tell us we want this, we want that, the mind tells us we want this, we want that. How are we going to do it? Well, Krishna talks about it in the same chapter. Let's just read another verse, just a few verses on. This is now verse, chapter 2, verse 59. How many of you know a few verses from Bhagavad Gita? How many verses you know? One? That's a start. How many verses do you know? Huh? 15. I see. Anyway, this is a good verse. If you want to learn a verse, it's a good verse. All these verses that we've read tonight, and this verse, they're good verses if you like to learn a verse and really know what Krishna says, because that helps. Vishaya vinavartante nilaharasya dehina rasa varjam rasopyasya
param drishtva navartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. This is very important. Yeah. So here Krishna is saying, the embodied soul, that's us, we may be restricted from sense enjoyment. In other words, some force, like maybe you're locked up in jail. If you're locked up in jail, you can't just go and do what you like. You're being restricted. Or we just mentioned, you may just force yourself not to sleep or force yourself not to do something. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but the taste remains. Someone's locked up in jail for so many years. They can't go to the disco. They can't go to the shabin. They can't just do these things. But as soon as they get out, what do? They go to the shabim, same day. So, they were forced for some time. They were forced, but the taste remained. But Krishna says, if you stop those activities of sense gratification through experiencing a higher taste, then you become fixed and you don't get distracted again. Then you come to that higher level and you become free from that influence of the body, the senses and the mind to pull you down. If you get a higher taste, a higher experience of pleasure, if you engage in activities which give you that higher experience, the principle is, very simple principle, if you have 10 rands, he has 100 rands, and if he, with his 100 rands, tells you with your 10 rands, let's swap, you give him your 10 rands, he gives you his 100. Then you immediately think, yes, you can give up your 10 rands, just like that. You'll be happy to give it up. But if you have 10 rands, he has 0, and he says, let's swap, then you're not going to be happy here, take my 10 rands. No. So it's a very simple principle, the principle of taste, experience, higher taste. If you can engage your senses, if you engage yourself, your body, your mind and everything, in activities which give a higher experience, then those activities which give the lower experience, then you can give them up. It's not a problem. Actually, you'll be happy to give them up. You'll want to give them up, because they will be getting in the way of your experiencing the higher taste. Just like something which Prabhupada talked about occasionally. If you have a nice house in, what is it, Deep Kloof Extension. Is that correct? Somewhere out there, by the highway. You had a nice house. With 4 bedrooms, carpet, TVs everywhere, and so you got your nice house. And somewhere, probably somewhere in Soweto, there's one broken down public toilet. Just, you know, filthy, neglected, just out of it. when you're living in your nice house and deep food. So if they tell you, give up your nice house and deep food, go and stay in the toilet, then you won't be interested. But if you're living in the toilet, as some people do, and they say, you know, if you want to swap it for a nice house in Deep Kloof Extension, you'll probably be very happy. And if they try and keep you there in the toilet, please stay in the toilet, it's so nice, you're doing, we're so happy to see you living there. But you'll consider that an obstacle, isn't it? So like this, when you start getting a higher experience from certain activities, then the activities which give you a lower taste, not only can you give them up easily, you don't even feel it, but actually those lower activities become like an obstacle. You don't want them. You want to get free from them. So this is Krishna consciousness then. We engage in activities of devotional service, then these activities give a higher pleasure. We chant Hare Krishna, we really get into it. You've got to get into it. It's not just, you know, you can fool around and expect to get so much out of it. But if you get into it, if you really get into it, this chanting, then the ordinary music, it becomes like, you know, it's not very important. It's not so interesting. We don't really care. Like this. So therefore, the answer is, how to get fixed on the spiritual platform. So we don't just get distracted this way and that. The answer is, keep fully engaged in devotional service. Keep fully engaged. Keep your mind, instead of thinking about so many material things, think of Krishna. Instead of talking about so many material things, chant Hare Krishna, talk with the other devotees about Krishna, talk with anyone about Krishna. Instead of just doing some ordinary work or something, we can do some work for Krishna, do some service for Krishna. And then we find, oh, a different experience is coming. Different experience. Here in the purport, I don't know if you remember, but Prabhupada was talking about the principle of watering the root of the tree. If you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and twigs and fruits and so on the tree, they become nourished. You could always go to each flower and put a few drops of water on, each leaf put a few drops of water on. You could do that. But, you know, for one thing it's going to be very difficult. For another thing, it's not really the right way to satisfy those leaves and fruits. That's not really how it all works. It works when you put the water on the root. Then they get what they need. So similarly, we're all parts of Krishna. Parts and parcels. Krishna says that later on in the 15th chapter. Vamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. The living entities in this material world are my eternal fragments, fragmental parts. So we're all part of Krishna. Not that we're not individuals, we are individuals, but in another sense, we're part of Krishna. So how to satisfy ourselves? Well, again, this watering the root of the tree, if we satisfy Krishna, then we'll become satisfied. We will share in the pleasure of Krishna. Just like when the tree, the root of the tree is watered, the leaves share the water. The whole tree is being nourished. And the leaves, which are part, they also get nourished. without making a separate effort to nourish themselves. So if we engage in Krishna service and we please Krishna, then we will share his pleasure. And we do. This is our experience. We really get into it. We find it's much better. So much better. These other things, they end up looking like rubbish, actually. Because they are, usually. They are. Okay, so how does that sound? We're saying we should engage fully in devotional service. In this way, we can get free. Due to experiencing the higher taste in devotional service, we'll get free from these attractions to the lower material things. Does that sound okay? Is that right? Is that okay, Esther? Sure. Is that okay? Definitely. Okay. So let's try and do it. This is the basic idea. Let's try and do it. Takes a little work. But anything which is worthwhile takes a little work. So it's okay. Don't worry too much if you have to make a bit of an effort. It's worth it. It's much more than worth it. Right, so now we'll try and answer a few questions. Could you just pull this away a little? Pushing yourself helps, and sometimes it's not practical, and material desires are real. And of course, spiritual advancement is what we all desire to attain. But how do you balance what's good for you, what's necessary, and the actual goal of life without becoming distracted? Okay. Well, I could sort of attempt, I think, some sort of answer. You know, just like say you have to work to maintain your family. Somehow, you've got to get money. So in order to get money, you may have to get a job or something.